It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Oh, baby? No, it's not Bonte Hill. It's Joe Spadoni. Some call me Sam Spadoni. That's actually my brother. Alongside Joe Shasky here. It's the morning roast. Halfway home here. And I'm sorry. We just had Brian Baldinger on and he called me Sam like five times. My ego's a little hurt. All right? All right? I don't have that beautiful mane that Sam Lubman has. But I get it because Sam is the producer of the show today. And he's the producer of the morning roast. And he's the one that actually talks to Baldy down the line and is communicating him more than anyone else here at the station. So you know what? It's okay. We're doing a hell of a job. Sam's doing a hell of a job. I see you, Dave. I see you, TC. We're going to get to you guys on the phone lines. But we just had Brian Baldinger on, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. He was amazing, as he always is, each and every week. And if you missed any of that interview, download the Odyssey app. It is free. You can find it there. You could also hit us up and find that on YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. And before I get to that sound, I want to hear your thoughts, Joe Shasky, because that's something that Dan Dibley has always hammered into me and others. It's bros before phones or cuts. So we need to hear from you before I go to a phone call or a cut. I know that's been in rare form in the last few months.
I don't care what bros before cuts. Whatever. Here's what I would say is that
it was me being polite, and I want to hear you speak before I just dismiss you.
Baldy said a bunch of things that were very fascinating, and we're efforting kind of like chopping up the sound right now, and I want to hear from the audience, but the poor play in the second half is alarming. He played brilliant at stretches, and then Baldy said it very perfectly. One interception cost him the game. The second one sealed the game. You know what I mean? Like, that's what happens. And yes, your kicker's going to miss kicks. You watched the Cincinnati game over the weekend.
I did.
Okay? That team outside of Burrow was trying to actively lose that game a variety of ways.
Joe Burrow had to win the game three different times. Yes. He put them in position to win the game three different times, and they fumbled the first two. I mean, fumbled in the you know, the...
And forget money. This is just what separates the dudes from the, you know, guys playing quarterback. Correct. I'm talking about the dudes.
No, the top fives from the top 10, 15s. Like, that's just the difference, and it's okay. We learned this season Brock Purdy's not a top five guy. I think a lot of 49er fans thought they had a top five guy because he was an MVP candidate. We all thought, oh, he's just as good as Burrow, Mahomes, Allen, Lamar Jackson. He's not. That's okay. It's okay. You can have he could be Jalen Hurts. He could be, Jared Goff. You can get to Super Bowls with those guys. In fact, all three of those guys, Purdy included, have been to Super Bowls and have been very close to winning all those Super Bowls. Well, Jared Goff kind of got destroyed by Bill Belichick, but still they were in the game for the most part. That's okay, but things have to go right around him, and you cannot have that margin for error like you just had. You cannot lose the game for your team. You have to put them in a position to win more often than not, and it's funny because Baldy brought this up. You look at the other side. Like, Jared Goff has known for most of this season after the injuries, he has to be perfect.
He was
he can't make a mistake.
I thought he was incredible. Actually, like, no one wants to hear this. For a kid coming back home, he played a Brady-like game.
They played they had the Jared Goff chant. There's a lot of Lions fans there, rightfully so.
Good for him.
I thought that was kind of cool.
I did too.
I know a lot of people are going to be like, oh, that's, what are you saying?
No, like, negative.
He's a Bay Area guy, Marin Catholic.
I root for him.
Cal, come on.
He wears 16 for
Montana.
He
also lost six straight to the Niners. So it's like,
So, but like, I think the bigger thing, and like, there's the whole like, throwing interceptions late in games. That's not exclusive to just Brock. A lot of guys do that, okay? Like, that's been the hallmark of Dak throughout his career. He's made a lot of money. They've won a lot of games.
Yep.
The big one for me is the injuries. And I asked Baldy the question, what's the bigger problem, the late game mistakes or the injuries? And here was his response.
I got it.
He's going to heal from whatever he injured last night. He's going to heal because he's healed repeatedly. But it is three straight years now with serious injuries. Now, we got to find out how serious this is. It's three straight years of injuries. There is a track record there that gives you cause for concern. It just does. When you can line up and play 17 every year, That concern never crosses your mind. Jared Goff can do that. He has done that. But it is a cause for concern. I would be more concerned about the injury history right now than I would be about late-game mistakes.
How can you argue?
888-957-9570. Are you more concerned about the injuries or the mistakes from one Brock Purdy? And, you know, should he have played last night? That was a conversation we were having before the show, during the show. Should it be up to the quarterback in that situation when you're going to be paying him all the money you're going to be paying him? They're out of the playoff picture. Should John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan stepped in? There's a lot of different layers, kind of like ogres or like onions. There's a lot of layers to this conversation. Shout out Shrek. A lot of layers to this Brock Purdy talk.
But, you know, like, you buy certain products and there's like a buyer beware sticker on it, you know? Like, mattresses is a great example.
As is the sticker. So they sell it usually, because I used to work in retail.
Okay.
So you'd slap, it's 75% off, but it's as is you top on there. So there's something, there's a defect with it. But you know you're paying 75% off. So I'm only, you know, paying a couple bucks here for, I don't know, a makeup case. Yeah. But there's a big crack in it, right? I'm just using that example.
Yeah, no, I like this. There's a buyer beware sticker
crack.
Slapped on Brock Purdy right now. Doesn't mean I don't want him. It doesn't mean I'm throwing him out. It doesn't mean I'm trading him.
But the price has shifted.
Not only has the price shifted, my whole opinion on where this is going long term has shifted. But here's the other thing. It can shift back. There was a time when I didn't believe in Jared Goff long term. I still have some similar questions about Jared Goff that I had a couple years ago. Like, can this guy down 8 points in a playoff game on the road, you know, will his team do a victory? I don't know. Like, we'll see. And I think really highly of Jared Goff right now, right? So I have a lot of questions on him, but I really like Jared Goff right now. Baker Mayfield, a year and a half ago, I was like, no, there's just no, this guy's not a franchise quarterback. He's not good. Today, I'm like, dude, Baker's a baller. Like, I don't know where I stack him up right now, but I really like him. Brock today feels like a depreciated asset. That doesn't mean I'm throwing him away, and it doesn't mean that I'm ready to, like, bid adieu to him. Simultaneously, I want to see where this goes. And I'm in no rush to slap an expensive premium price tag on him. I'm putting the buyer beware label on him. I'll buy, but I also understand I got to put some clauses in there that protect me. And I need to put some stuff around him in that quarterback room that protect me. Another veteran or a young player you're taking a flyer on, and you got to draft somebody.
And what I don't want is what I saw on the opposing team yesterday. For my offense to have to be Brock heavy and try to throw every single time just to keep pace because my defense can't stop a nosebleed.
That's a whole other team building conversation.
Correct. And that's just last night highlighted just all the deficiencies around this team and just why, you know, they need a close to a top 10 draft pick is what they're going to get because they need to shore up the defensive line, the offensive line, the linebacking core,
DC, Drake
Greenlaw,
kicker.
The kicker. Like, there's everything on the table right now. Punter. Like, everything is up to question right now.
Even Devo, kick returner, has been nice, and then he fumbled.
Then he fumbled the ball, exactly. We got Dave in Fresno, TC in SAC, Dave in South San Francisco. We got a lot of calls we want to get to.
Let's
start off the top. Dave,
rapid fire.
He's out in Fresno. What's up, Dave? You're on
up,
with
Dave?
Spadoni and Shasky on the Morning Roast.
Yeah, I'm just tired of this QB carousel in San Francisco. I hate hearing this argument that, you know, there's only 5 quarterbacks, they don't grow on trees. You know, like, let's just stop admitting and stop settling at the most important position. I mean, we are the San Francisco 49ers. We ain't had a franchise quarterback since Steve Young. You know, like, stop making excuses. Stop trying to sell people something that's not there. You know, like, I get it. You know, you keep looking till you find one. Don't say, well, there's only one Josh Allen, only one Lamar. Like, I stopped saying that. You keep looking until you find one. Because if you have that mindset, you'll never find one. And Brock, he's okay, but why just have okay? Why are we okay with just okay? That's to me, that's unacceptable, especially for this franchise.
Dave.
You know, he's a great guy. That's fine. But stop settling. I can't stand listening to that. That makes no sense.
Who do you want, Dave?
No. It's a great question. But before you forget who he wants, he just wants options. But it's a great point.
There's no options.
No, but like no one's saying you have to get rid of him right now. We're saying that like they need to continue to search for the next best thing simultaneously, and then hope that Brock bounces back. Like both can be true. But Dave, like there is something to be said when you step on a field. As great as Chris Jones is. Everybody knows the best player on the Chiefs is Patrick Mahomes. When the Bills step on the field, everyone knows their best player, their dude, is Josh Allen. Everybody knows when the Baltimore Ravens step on the field, as great as Derrick Henry is, one of the greatest running backs of all time, Lamar Jackson is their best player. Yep. Joe Burrow is as great as Ja'Marr Chase is, as great as Hendrickson is. The best player on that team is Burrow. There is something to be said when your best player is the dude and he plays quarterback, it just elevates everything. It makes everything easier. It's inarguable.
Who's the best player on the 49ers right now? George Kittle?
Kittle, Bosa.
Yeah.
And I think there was an argument for Fred at one point, but he's hurt right now.
Yep. And I think a year ago, if the season ended, you pulled it.
CMC.
It would have been CMC and Brock, surprisingly.
I think it would have been CMC.
Brock was Brock finished fourth in the MVP voting.
I know, but I think CMC.
Yes.
CMC was so
good. No, he was offensive player of the year. I'm saying CMC, and then it was probably Purdy because of the year he had. Maybe, but I just don't think, like, the defense, like, quarterbacks hit different.
No, I hear you.
But
no,
you
know what? Maybe I'm diminishing his. You know what?
I think he might have been
diminishing his season.
The Q rating of Brock Purdy last year was at an all time high. Fast forward to now, it's at an all time low. It's okay to say that. Like, and he could still salvage some things, but how is it going to look when he gets back? The payday conversation is going to be there. It's just interesting, given yesterday, given the totality of this season, where things are going to shake out, how quarterbacks have been getting paid, and maybe the contract looks outlandish at the time, and there's a lot of built-in clauses, the guaranteed money. See, the thing with the NFL, which is so funny, is it's sticker shock, to your point, Chasky. You look at the sticker, but it's almost like a Billy Mays thing. But wait, there's more. RIP. There's more little subtle loopholes. You can get out of this. It's not Major League Baseball. It's not the NBA where it's all guaranteed. It's a lot that you could
finagle,
and a lot of it's fugazi,
yes,
if you will, right?
Yes, I would agree.
I wouldn't be too concerned.
Chris Tucker and Friday?
Yes.
Where I haven't seen Friday in a while. Counting the money, 20, 40, 60, and then he flips the money over, and he counts the same money over and over. That's what it feels like.
Is that
when it
comes to the ice cream truck or whatever it was, right?
There is a bullet you have to bite on these quarterback contracts in terms of the guaranteed money.
Mm-hmm.
And part of, like, I look at the Denver Broncos. Ask them today, would it be better if they had the $75 million in dead money that they're eating on Russell Wilson's contract to spread around that roster for this year, given the year they've had? Yeah, it would be a little nicer.
Yes.
But they've overcome it. And you know what? They're having a great year. So no matter how big the money, you can overcome it. This is incumbent on the front office to have one hell of a draft.
And I'm just saying right now, the cap space for the 49ers, they're top 10 in cap space right now, heading into next season, 2025. That's what's projected right now.
Quarterback's going to eat up a chunk of that.
But you can get it. You can circumvent that a little bit. If you need to fill a lot of holes quickly, you can do the signing bonuses. Like, you're seeing that, wow, Deshaun Watson and his contract, they're doing a lot of things because he's got like $90 million guaranteed for a couple of years still.
Kirk, too.
But they have to divvy it up in a way that it doesn't hamstring them. So what I'm saying is, franchises can still find ways to where it doesn't kill you overall. I bring up the Philadelphia Eagles because I think they're the blueprint for what the 49ers are going to try to do. They paid Jalen. They paid A.J. Brown. They paid Devontae Smith. They paid a lot of these players premium money. And you know what? It's not looking like it's hurting them. Now, they nailed two huge draft picks this past year in Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo and Cooper DeJean out of Iowa. Those are massive. And they got Saquon.
Which is the best bang for buck free agent signing in years.
Well, since I would say free agent signing is a great way of putting it, because I would say just an acquisition outside of Christian McCaffrey last year with the 49ers, right? Like, that's the only thing I could equate it to.
$26 million guaranteed. I'm going to say that again. Saquon Barkley in free agency got $26 million guaranteed.
It's unbelievable.
For a 3-year deal.
Unbelievable. If you're
that's less than what Ayuk is making, the second the pen hit the paper.
And by the way, watching last night and just doing a macro view, like, good luck, Detroit, if you have to play like a Philadelphia or something. If you're going to roll into that with that defense, I'm sorry.
But their offense is explosive.
It's great. But you know what happens to the playoff time? There's going to be stops made, and what are you going to do? The defense has got to make a play. Could they rely on Kirby Joseph to have multiple turnovers every single game?
I'm not going to doubt them out. I'm not going to count them out. I actually, watching how hard they played yesterday, there's something intoxicating about the Dan Campbell, Ben Johnson, Aaron Glenn triumphant. Like, somehow Aaron Glenn's going to get a job based off this.
No, he is. It's Good point. TC's out in Sacramento. He wants to join in the conversation. You're talking about Ben Johnson. I think TC wants to talk about the Lions, OC. What's going on, TC, Earl Spadoni and Chasky?
Spadoni, Chasky, what's going on? I know Bonte ain't in, but what's up, Bonte, if you're listening?
Oh, he's tapped in. You know he is on the Free Odyssey app and on YouTube.
Hey, Chasky, you see what I was talking about with Ben Johnson, bro? Let's look up. I got a few points on that note, right?
That hook so and ladder was ridiculous.
A bunch of teams, it was ridiculous. When I seen that, I said, this is it, bro. So check it out. A lot of teams around the team, even looking at Rex Ryan, John Gruden, there's a lot of teams, Saints, there's a lot of teams looking for coaches, right? So that's why you trade that guy, right, for a first-round or a second-round pick, right? John, you can keep Lynch. I respect Lynch. Lynch has a lot of respect around the league and all that. Lynch, he probably talked to Ben Johnson last night. Lynch, go get Ben Johnson. Let Ben Johnson come in here and draft this quarterback. Whatever quarterback's coming out in this draft that he feel like he wants, let him get him. We don't got to trade Brock away. Brock has one more year on his contract. Brock can come in here and battle with whatever quarterback that Ben Johnson gets. And then we'll decide where we want to go from there. Either Brock, you're the dude, and this young guy has to learn under you, or we can move on and let you go, and we can move on with this guy and sign Greenlaw back and figure out what we want to do with the defense. And we got the major question is, that's what we want to do with Bosa, bro. And if we want to trade him and call in a package, we can do that. But I'm telling you, the number one thing is getting Ben Johnson in here and let him get his quarterback, bro. I'm not crazy talking.
Did you think that the offense was a problem last night? I mean, they were going to score on essentially every single drive.
Brock's a problem and Kyle's a problem. Look, the only thing difference between Brock and Jimmy is Brock is a little more mobile. They do the same. They don't have a deep ball. They do the same throwing across the middle. And Brock is anticipating throws just like Jimmy trying to fit throws in tight windows. Kyle's not going to get out of his way. He has his whole head, Brock's whole head messed up. Brock used to be able to scramble around. Jimmy was a scrambler before he blew his ACL, and then when he came back, his whole mental was gone, bro. I'm telling you, we will never be able to move on if we don't move on from the guy that's at the helm, bro.
Thanks, TC. We're not firing.
The offense is not the problem. No. Execution, personnel. Now, schematically, the defense, huge problem.
And that is a Shanahan. Shanahan umbrella. He's the head coach.
I'm talking about play calling. You pay Kyle for play calling and offense schematically or whatever the hell you want to call it. He's brilliant.
How fun was watching the first half last night?
Just awesome.
It was a play sheet measuring contest between Ben Johnson and Kyle Shanahan. That was fun.
Agreed.
Ben Johnson's been a great offensive coordinator. Let's see him be a head coach.
Sorry, really quick to interject here. But while we're on the subject of firing or not firing Kyle Shanahan, this from Adam Schefter right now. Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch will be back with the San Francisco 49ers next year after a disappointing 2024 season, according to team owner Jed York.
Oh, so, glad Jed spoke on that. He felt the need to speak on that.
I think that's why coming did he feel from the Cal need to Commie.
Well,
because Cal Commie spoke with Jed before the game,
okay, there you
and
go.
He confirmed to him. So I'm not surprised. But once Schefter says it, I get why you would. So there's your breaking news.
Is that the dreaded vote of confidence?
Well, I mean, look.
No, I'm just kidding.
If I'm Jed York, I would, being real here, if I'm Jed York, I walk over to Kyle and John. It's like, guys, there's some great things here. There's a couple of issues. Like, your defense is horrible.
No, I'll give you
guys. No one's winning with this defense.
No, hey, John and Kyle, I'll give you guys, it was a disappointing season. A lot of stuff happened. We were just in the Super Bowl. This can't happen next year.
No, exactly.
Like, if this happens again next year, maybe we will be having some hard conversations.
Look, we whiffed on the kicker.
Yep.
It happens, right? Like, it does happen. That's the crazy. It does happen. There are cluster injuries at special teams that, you know, things can happen. I remember when the Niners had David Green Acres and he hurt his hip, and it's tough to find kickers. It can be, even if you're going through the carousel. But you guys prioritize taking this guy in the third round, and it's been, this year, not bad. Horrific.
Mm-hmm.
3 for 15 from outside of 40. And you had multiple kickers come off of nowhere, all right, who were good, and all of them got hurt on special teams.
Yeah.
It's
been a year from hell.
Yeah.
Let's just call it what it is. It's been a year for hell. And mercifully, it's coming to an end next week in the desert in Arizona.
And the promotion of Nick Sorensen from within, on top of, because I want to make sure I make this clear. I don't think Bill Parcells and Bill Belichick designing this defense in the 1980s, I don't think that this defense with this personnel was going to be a good defense. but they're so poorly coached, and they take such horrific angles, and they're out of place, and they do weird, wild, goofy things at specific spots. Listen to what Baldy was saying. Listen to what Baldy said about the goal line situation. I could not believe how far off they were playing on fourth down.
There's an old saying, whether you're a linebacker or defensive back, in that situation where Amon-Ra catches that pivot route for a touchdown. Like, if you back up, you give it up. You step up, you clean it up. Like, there's an old, and then it's the other old saying is, 10 toes on the goal line. That's the defense. We're not backing up. We're defending the goal line. We're not giving you the goal line. Like, put your toes on the goal line and keep it all in front of you. You know, even if you look at the play by Brian Branch where Pearsall scored, I mean, he's attacking the play. Now, he almost gets him, like, he gets one toe on the goal line, and that saved him. And it took about 10 replays for them to okay it. But that's how you play goal line defense. Like, that's what drove John Lynch nuts. That's what John Lynch is usually pretty controlled up there. But that got him up going, what are we doing? What is Ronaldo doing here? Like, this is stupid. This is just dumb football. Like, you're just giving him this underneath stuff like this.
Brian Baldinger, just last segment here on the Morning Roast. And John Lynch's reactions yesterday, that was almost more fascinating than what was happening on the field. Because he's had it. Like you saw him yesterday a multitude of times, so much so where the broadcast was talking about it. I think after he realized he was on the TV, he kind of calmed himself down a little bit because he realized. But I haven't seen him act like that or be that animated maybe since that first Super Bowl run where we saw him do the timeout, 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 right? He's usually very stoic. He has his hand on his face a little bit. He'll walk down to the sidelines if need be. But in the last few weeks, whether it was the Devondre Campbell situation where he found out that, no, it was John Lynch going on the sidelines and telling Devondre to kick rocks. No, it's John Lynch now in the booth getting pissed off, getting angry, on top of Kyle Shanahan cussing into his play sheet as ESPN's panning to him after the first and second Brock Purdy turnovers. Like,
just stupid.
That's a good one. You could see it with Shanahan and Lynch, though. Like, this season's also weighing on them in a heavy, heavy way. Just, and we'll break here in a minute, Joe Shasky. So just 30 seconds or less here. Just your reaction to John Lynch's reactions.
I appreciated it because that's how I felt. And that's how I felt all year. What the hell? Like, what? They play well when they were god-awful for months, stretches. They're doing dumb things in certain situations. They're a very, in terms of defense specifically, they do some of the dumbest things situationally I can remember. What a team that I had high-end personnel in Bosa and Warner I've ever seen do. There's so many thoughts. I want to keep going. I want to hear from the audience. Where you at, Niner fans?
Yeah, we got Richie Rich.
And I want to make this argument.
Ooh.
I think 2024, for me, was the most devastating year as a 49er fan I've ever had. And I've been born 42 years.
Most devastating year.
I'll explain it.
Wow, that's a tease right there. That's what's coming up with the game sponsored by the Inn at the Tides. Picture yourself in a cozy room by the fire, enjoying breathtaking views of Bodega Bay. This time of year is magical at the Inn at the Tides. Special midweek rates start at just $159 per night. Book your escape now, innatthetides.com.
Dumb football.
All right. Hey, check this out. This is San Leandro Mo, and you're listening to 95.7 The Game, the Morning Roast with Bonte and Shaq.
It's just dumb football.
Oh, God.
Spadoni. Stupid.
Spadoni in for Bonte Hill alongside Joe Shasky. It's just so much to get into with this game and this season.
It's just dumb football.
It really has been. But that's the frustrating part, because that first half was just an offensive masterpiece by both sides. Now, you can't have an offensive masterpiece, Joe Shasky, without a defensive disaster class. And that's also what we saw from Aaron Glenn and Nick Sorensen. Nobody could stop anything. It was awful. But
they blew another lead. And then the quarterback, in three consecutive weeks, threw an interception that ended
the game. The quarterback blew the lead, first and foremost, because he threw two horrible picks. And then he got hurt on top of it.
And so, the kicker missed a bunch of kicks.
Oh, it's just, And again, I still think the worst kick of all was the onside kick.
Did you hear Baldy talking about
that? He's like, you got to get a bounce in there. You practice it before the game.
This is stupid.
You know in video games when you don't understand how to play and you're doing the kicks like on Madden and you, yeah, like that's what that looked like. Like he hit the X either too quickly or whatever.
Yep.
I don't even know. Like, look, let me lay this out.
I was just gonna like to play NFL Blitz, and like you can attempt like a field goal for like 75 yards and make it every time.
You know who so good plays football currently? The way NFL Blitz was played back in the day, Dre Greenlaw.
Yes, 100%.
Just trying like, to the hard, massive so. Hits. These barrels of guys,
dude. They made an updated NFL Blitz. So we'll get back to the calls here in a second. Richie Rich and Dave, I see you guys. They made an updated Blitz. Like I want to say, like circa like 2007 or 2008. Where you can like take steroids and stuff and get back into the game. It was, and you had to like take like drug tests and stuff. Look this up. They made like an updated NFL Blitz game where you can actually be the athlete. No, I swear to God, 888-957-9570. Text me in at the Comcast Business Text line if you remember it.
As a Niner fan, like last night's loss was such a microcosm of the entire year. 2024 has been, in my adult life, I truly believe, even in whatever life I want to choose, I'm 42 years old. I think it's the worst year in terms of depression of being a Niner fan ever. They had no business being down 24-7 as they're getting the doors blown off them by the Detroit Lions at the beginning of that. Technically, the beginning was the January game against Green Bay where they played horrible, okay? And then they somehow found a way to eke it out. The Detroit game, they're down 24-7. They have no business being down 17, let alone coming back from 17 as fast as they did. They held on. They make the Super Bowl. They go to the Super Bowl. The field is a giant mess. I'm talking about the practice field that they're thinking about flying back home from Vegas that week. I don't even know if the coach was doing God knows what at the you know media day, whatever. They have Mahomes on the ropes. The Super Bowl is literally in one and a half hands, not two hands, one and a half hands. And you fumble it away. And then you don't know the overtime rules. And you lose to Mahomes and you become their version. If they're the Niners and they're a dynasty, you're their Cincinnati Bengals, where you've lost to them now twice. And you're a part of Patrick Mahomes' highlight package and Andy Reid's highlight package going into the Hall of Fame. You're watching their great tight end, who's now married up, essentially, with one of the pop queens of all time. And your tight end, who's awesome, is a footnote to that guy's history. And I feel he's just as good. Maybe not as a pass catcher, but as a player. I feel like he's just as good. Then I look at losing Dre Greenlaw, one of the heart and souls of the team. And I don't know if he'll ever be the same. Christian McCaffrey hasn't looked the same in 2024 at all to what he was in 2023. You give him a contract extension, he plays a handful of games, doesn't score a touchdown. Deebo Samuel, dangled in 2024, dangled in trade rumors, best shape of his life, one of the worst seasons of his career. And basically is a glorified kick returner.
We might have saw the last of Deebo Samuel as a 49er at Levi Stadium.
And still one of my favorite players. Sure. And it hurts my soul what he's devolved into. They drafted a wide receiver to maybe be his replacement, and he got shot at Union Square.
He did.
He's lucky to be alive.
Hey, Joe Buck saying that so nonchalantly on the broadcast yesterday, by the way, he was like, you know, Ricky Pearsall, he got shot before the season. He gets a reception there. I was like, what? You don't just say that. And it became so, like, because that's just it. We just say it not flippantly. Guy got shot. And for him to have the game he had last night
was incredible. But his 2024 has been horrible.
It's not been good.
It's not been good. Brandon Ayuk, are they going to trade him? Are they going to keep him? They end up signing him late to the party. And he had a disappointing start to the season and almost blew his whole leg off.
Destroyed his knee.
It's so unfortunate. Horrible 2024 for him. Mm-hmm. After the offseason saga of all of the Instagramming and family and friends and just everything. Trent Williams. Off the field, I mean, Jesus, I can't imagine what him and his wife are going through.
Yeah. Charvarius Ward.
This team had championship aspirations. You kind of had, quote unquote, the whole band back.
Did you think, not to cut you off there, and it was a great tangent and great point. Deep down, you knew this team wasn't going back, though, right?
Joe, on paper, like, it made sense. But yeah, knowing the league and all that stuff, I was skeptical. It's hard to do what they did.
It's so hard.
But Joe, everything went wrong. Not one thing. Everything went wrong. The quarterback got hurt again. The quarterback missed some time. Like, he hasn't played as good in the fourth quarter. I thought we had a guy way better than Jimmy. I don't even know. I don't know where he is right now. I don't know. The coach had to fire the DC. I would have fired the DC too. I was right with him. He made a worse hire. I don't know how he did. And it's one of the worst hires they've ever had. The kicker is one of the worst kickers in Niner history. Jose Cortez, Mike Kofler, they've had horrible ones. Their backup running back was running like an absolute stud. Hurt his shoulder, never was the same, Jordan Mason. Their triple backup or whatever, Elijah Mitchell didn't play at all. Nothing has gone well. Nothing has gone well. Nick Bosa has been a shell of himself until last night. Finally looked good last night. Fred Warner started off the year great. Has been clearly compromised with a broken leg all year. All year. This is one of the worst seasons in Niner history. They're in a cap flux. I don't know what to make of it. They've spent all the money I would have spent on all these great players. They've all underperformed or gotten hurt. My quarterback is hurt again this morning. We don't know the results of whatever they're going to do when it comes to imaging. I don't even know how good he is. I don't know how much to pay him. You had a backup, Sam Darnold, who I thought stunk. He went to Minnesota and is having one of the greatest seasons Minnesota's ever seen.
Why not?
And he's going to lead that team maybe to the number one seed in the NFC. Okay? Simultaneously, the team you lost to in overtime has one loss and looks like they're going to three-peat. This has been one of the more nightmare seasons on any sports team, but the Niners in particular, have ever had in my lifetime. It is a nightmare season from hell. Even Satan thinks this is a cruel joke being played on the Niners and Niner fans. And I'm not saying, like, woe is us, because we've had some great years. But come on, Joe. Any one of those things can make you lose a season, and you go to 8-9, 9-8, you miss out. Everything's gone wrong. Everything.
The quarterback, running back, wide receiver. There is not one position group that has not suffered at some point this year outside of tight end, because George Kittle, again, and George Kittle has just been amazing this year, both as a leader, as a player, everything. He's probably going to be first-team All-Pro. He should be. He's been amazing. He's been the one bright spot, pretty much, outside of him and Juwan Jennings.
You know what? I should have brought up. You're right. Yeah. Juwan, I should bring up. But you're right.
But again, right. That's two in a season of just atrociousness across the board. And it's frustrating as a fan base to be so damn close, because it's one thing to be the New York Giants and know you're going to suck. To be the Raiders, you know you're going to suck. Like, to be in that position, like, you're going to get used to it because you've seen that. But the Niners have been knocking on the door year after year after year. And that's why there's part of me, if I'm a Niners fan this year and today, it's like, you know what? This is a pattern. They could have a bad year under Shanahan, and then next year they could be back in the NFC Championship game. That is what I have to tell myself right now, which sounds like, you know what, you're just throwing dirt on everything, it's fine, whatever. No. I have no, that is a pattern under this regime. And I know how much it means to them, and I know Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have not lost that locker room.
No doubt.
And that is important in all this, because I don't know if they're feeling that way in Jacksonville, in Las Vegas, in New York, with both teams, quite frankly. Like,
What's more tortured? Let me ask you, what's more tortured? Being a Raider fan currently, where you guys have been pretty miserable. Like, I'm being real here. Like, what is the more miserable existence? Knowing your team has no shot, or the cruel joke that's been played on Niner fans, where you're at the altar and you're the bridesmaid all the time, and then you get closer and closer, and it just, this year, it feels like we're cursed.
It could be worse. If you're ever actively rooting for your team to lose, like Giants fans were last week, like Raiders fans were last week, that is when you know it's bad. When you are actively rooting for the demise of your team so that maybe, just maybe, they can draft a savior like a Shador Sanders or a Cam Ward, even if you don't think they are, just the future of your team.
So no, that balloon is worse than having the balloon popped on you when you think you're going to fly away?
They just need some patchwork on their balloons right now, the 49ers. I can make that argument. Hey, and Baldy said it. Hey, if he bounces back and his injury's not serious, that's okay. I could be sold on the 49ers being back. You know why I could be sold? Because they're going to have a fourth-place schedule. That's locked in. They have a fourth-place schedule next year, and I know the talent from the head coach, from the players, from everything, is going to be there when it's all said and done, when they play a fourth place schedule against the likes of a Carolina Panthers or whoever those, the New York Giants, teams like that. So I could sell next season. I'm not worried about that. What I am worried about is how this team is going to look in certain skill position players and certain group sets. And if that depth is going to get tested again next year, if it's going to be a snowball effect, that's what I'm worried about. I'm not worried about Brock Purdy, the player. It's if this injury is going to be a thing or not. And that's what Brock Purdy, and that's what you asked, sorry, not Brock Purdy, Brian Baldinger, and this is what Baldy had to say in regards to Brock's injury.
He's going to heal from whatever he injured last night. He's going to heal because he's healed repeatedly. But it is three straight years now with serious injuries. Now, we got to find out how serious this is. It's three straight years with injuries. There is a track record there that gives you cause for concern. It just does. When you can line up and play 17 every year, that concern never crosses your mind. Jared Goff can do that. He has done that. But it is a cause for concern. I would be more concerned about the injury history right now than I would be about late game mistakes.
Is that the biggest question mark for you right now, San Francisco 49ers fans? It's the injury history of Brock Purdy. Does that scare you the most when you look at the totality of this season and this team right now? Is it the health of your quarterback? 888-957-9570. We are live and local all day right here on 95.7 The Game. We are going to have Evan and Steiny coming in. We've got Willard and Dibs. It was a hell of a job yesterday from Grandy and Willard leading up to the game at the Hill in Santa Clara. We are live and local, 888-957-9570. And we want to go to your calls right now because we got full phone lines, Joe Shasky. So let's start hitting them. People are fired up about this loss to the Detroit Lions. Dave is in South City. He's been hanging on tight. Dave, what's going on, man? Thank you for your patience. You're almost Spadoni. You're almost Shasky. It's the Morning Roast.
Evan. Tiny coming in.
Turn off your radio, Dave. All right, he's gone. Richie Rich out in Livermore. He wants to join in the conversation. 888-957-9570. What's going on, Rich?
What's up, fellas? Good morning, Joe. Spadoni, you're doing a good job. Hey, check this out. TC, that dude's been trying to fire Kyle Shanahan from day one, dude. Like, that's all he ever does. I don't even want to hear it no more with that guy, dude. He was firing Kyle before Kyle was hired, bro. Like, he's not even a real fan. That's a closet fan, bro. Like, come to a game and come see what we see before you talk, bro. Now, let me just say this, man. Look, you're right, Joe. You hit everything on the head earlier. It's a microcosmic of what we've been dealing with. Why? Because it's not last year. Last year, everything went wrong. I mean, went right. Everything went perfect. This year, whatever can go wrong has went wrong, right? Brock looked amazing last year. Why? Because the offensive line played to their max potential, right? You had your blanket CMC, dude, at his high. Yeah. Like, he wasn't making those oh-no throws, right? How many games did we really play last year from behind? We didn't much, right? And when Brock's ahead, he's a stud. He's lights out. But when he's behind and he's pressing like he did last night and what we've seen all season, that's what you get. You get those oh-no throws because he's trying to get something going. He don't have the CMC checkdown. He doesn't have his blanket Ayuk. That's why we're seeing what we're dealing with. I'm not worried, and this is why I'm not worried, fellas, because, first of all, you've seen that schedule next year, right? Like, that schedule is probably the easiest schedule we've had yet. And this is what you got to do, man. I'm not going to start over and get another quarterback in there. You got to get that pick. You need to beef that offensive line to get Brock time to make plays. Because I don't care if you're a mediocre quarterback in the NFL. If you got time and that defense breaks down, you're going to make plays, right? And as far as our defense, yeah, that coach got to go. But with that being said, our front four has been trashed this year. Huh. There has been no pressure whatsoever, right? We were good last year. Why? Because we were getting home. We were getting to the quarterback. We were forcing QBs to throw balls that they didn't want to throw, make mistakes, making the DBs and linebackers play better as a core, man. If we beef that O-line and beef that D-line, I think we'll be able to run it back next year and be a 10 to 11 win team, and we're looking at a chance to get to that bowl, man. What do you guys think, fellas?
I can't even think like that right now.
I get it, but I hear what Richie Rich is saying. That's what I was kind of like getting at. Like, listen, it sounds bad right now. It's not a good look. Quarterback got hurt, threw two picks, didn't look great. The Lions are the best team in the NFC. So, like, at that being said, you had a chance to win it potentially. You didn't. You got it close. The Lions didn't have anything to play for, really, but they put all their starters out there, and it was a close game till the end. And you know what? That gives me some hope, at least for next season, that the Niners are still right there with the NFC's elite. And by the way, this whole narrative that the NFC is all of a sudden caught up to the AFC, I'm not seeing it. They've gotten better, but I just look at the quarterback play in general, and that's what still gives me optimism, because I do think that Brock is still one of the top three quarterbacks in your conference, and that goes a long way. I think it's Jared Goff. I got to see it again with Sam Darnold, by the way. He's having a great year. This season is Sam Darnold, though. And then there's Stafford. Okay. And then after that, you got Hurts.
Baker,
sure.
Goff.
Yeah, that's... I still think I'm taking Brock Purdy in the top three if I was going into next season. Even Jordan giving Love. Up to everything. Yeah, no. Love has been disappointing a little bit this year.
I think Jordan Love is...
He's been... Did you watch last week?
Oh, yeah. No, he's kind of got a lot of Brock, but in reverse. So he looks really good late. He doesn't look good early. He's been a mixed bag.
He's got the physical skill set.
He gives me a lot of wow plays. Like, see, that's the difference between what happens with Brock. He has to be so precise. But because of some of the physical limitations, that he has to be so precise. And I'm okay with a high turnover guy if you're throwing 36, 37, 38, 40 touchdowns. But if you're only throwing 20 touchdowns, you can't be a 15 interception, 7 fumble guy. You just can't. You can't.
Here's Kyle Shanahan talking about if there's promise for next season. This was after the game last night.
I think everything's connected, good or bad. I think it can lead to good things the next year. I mean, we're going through this. By no means are we happy with what we're going through, but I fully expect us to get better for going through this. I mean, even if it could have gone worse today, I expect us to learn a lot here going through this stuff, and I expect it to make us a better team next year. And when this season is over, I can't wait to get started figuring out how to do that.
It's Kyle Shanahan yesterday after the game. Let's get some more of your calls in. Schlepp, not Schlepp Rock, but Schlepp is out in Danville. He wants to join in the conversation. What's going on, Schlepp?
Hey, actually, it is Schlepp Rock. Oh. But hey, Shasky, really? You're okay with a high turnover guy, even if that guy might be $60 million a year?
No, what I'm saying is that hear me out. I want to make sure I clarify.
I get what you're saying.
If you're throwing 60 touchdowns, I'm okay with 20 picks.
Who's throwing 60 though? I mean, I don't know, but that's not why I called. I called another reason, Shasky, is the Niners have lost multiple games this year. Like, they've lost two games in a row a couple of times. They've lost three this last turnaround. Brock's throwing too many interceptions. I think he's thrown at least two interceptions in these last three games. There are your turnovers. You can't be turning over the ball in key times of the game, and most of the times it's in the fourth quarter, and that's been his calling card lately.
Yes.
And I just don't see this guy being a $60 million, $50 million contract signing quarterback. I think Mayfield's better than him. Baker Mayfield.
He's had a better year.
He had a good year. He's got a good compilation of what he's been doing in the last 5 years. He's just on a team that's balling out right now, just like the Niners did last year. But I just turnovers are turnovers. Not only is it the interceptions, but I don't know if it's his hands or not taking care of the ball. He fumbles a lot. Yeah. And again, a lot of times it's in the fourth quarter when you're trying to make that comeback. Yeah. I just don't think Brock Purdy's the guy. His arm is injured again. He was already suspect with his arm strength now and the elbow surgery, and now this. I don't know if you guys are going to put all your money in one basket and sign this guy to that. You know, that's just me, you know.
I'm with you.
You guys have a happy holidays.
You know, yeah, you too. Cool. Happy New Year.
I want to make sure I clarify this. So, like, I'm going to use an example. And, like, this is how I view Josh Allen.
Sure.
Like, Josh Allen's going to fumble the ball.
Yep.
He handles it a lot. Josh Allen's going to turn it over a lot. So, like, last year, forget this year. Last year, he threw 18 interceptions. He had 7 fumbles. That's 25 turnovers. He ran for 15 touchdowns and threw for another 29. Okay? So, the way I view, like, okay, he accounts for 45 touchdowns, all right, by himself, 45 touchdowns, and yeah, he had 25 turnovers. I don't love that ratio, but it's a little more palpable than right now. Brock is on pace, yes. I think the 20 passing touchdowns, a handful of rushing touchdowns, so let's say it's about 24. He's basically at a 1-to-1 touchdown to turnover ratio as a quarterback if I combine his rushing touchdowns with his passing touchdowns. That's not good enough. Right, I don't love any turnovers, but if you're giving me explosive plays and you're scoring a ton of touchdowns, I can live with a 2-to-1 ratio. Right, ideally, I'd like to be 3 or 4-to-1. That's what's making Burrow's season so great. And Josh Allen this year is down to 8 interceptions, 28 touchdowns.
Been a lot better this year.
He's been way better at ball security. But what I'm saying is that I'm more tolerant when you can explode and have a ton of touchdowns. Last year, I think Purdy threw for 32 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. He had the 11 picks. He had 6 fumbles. Right, that's a 2-to-1 ratio, 2.5-to-1 because he had a lot of rushing touchdowns as well. So like, I can live with some of those turnovers. That's a turnover a game, right? I can live with that because he was scoring 2.5, 3 touchdowns a game. I can live with those. This year, the ratio hasn't been as good.
And when you are not as good on defense, it's going to fall on you. Like, Patrick Mahomes can get away with some of that stuff. You know why? Because he has the best defense in the NFL. And you know what? More often than not, he's got the cachet to say, you know what? I've won multiple Super Bowls. I'm one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time already. I know when push comes to shove, I can make a winning play when I need to. I'm not going to worry about these. Like, Andy Reid's not worrying about some of these interceptions in games, like in the third or fourth quarter, because he knows what? If he gets an opportunity to come back, he'll make the play.
He's a made man.
Yes.
He's a made man.
Like, Brock's not yet.
No.
He's not.
No. And there are some guys are made men. Like, Stafford is now a made man after the one Super Bowl. You know, like, Jared Goff's not a made man.
No.
So when Jared Goff, at any point, if he struggles in the playoffs or falls short, we're going to pick him apart. Like, that's not fair or not fair. That's sports.
Yep.
Curry's a made man. Curry cannot be picked apart. Mm. You know, Jokic is a made man. He cannot be picked apart. Wow. Right? James Harden is not a made man. He can be picked apart.
Yeah.
You know, LeBron's a made man. So this kind of comes down to who's a made man and who's not.
Is Hank in Stanford a made man? He wants to join in the conversation. What's going on, Hank? You're on the Morning Roast.
Hey, how are you? Three things. Number one, I was a Browns fan back in the Schottenheimer era, and it feels like the Niners have a Schottenheimer problem with their coach. They can get to the altar, but they can't quite finish the deal.
Mm.
Number two, Purdy is a qualified quarterback, didn't have a supporting cast. You see a great comedian with no supporting cast, and the movie stinks. So I don't think you can blame him entirely. You got to look at the offensive line and so forth and so on. And number three is they got to have a good backup on linebacker, not somebody who quits. Linebackers do get hurt, and you need to have somebody qualified to back that up. And that's it, guys. Happy holidays.
Good call. Thank you.
Succinct. Good call, Hank.
Look, and I think that's the conundrum they're in with Purdy currently. It's not really even a conundrum. The situation is basically this. Everybody likes him. He's had a down year. But he is coming up for a potential extension. How much? How little? And then what do you surround him with? These are all the questions moving forward. And the more he makes, a little more difficult it is to build the team around him. And as we're learning now, like, just be careful how much you pay him. Buyer beware. The bigger issue isn't just the play. It's also the injuries. Like, the injuries to me, like, they better hope this is just a stinger.
And
they better hope it's just a stinger.
This is what Brock had to say in regards to his injury. And if the pain was similar to what he felt in Philadelphia, where you were, Joe Shasky and Bonta Hill, when he witnessed his elbow get shredded.
A little bit, but there we did some tests with like UCL stuff and I'm good in that regard, but we just got to go get imaging on it tomorrow and see the whole thing. So
hopefully it was a stinger there from Brock Purdy. Nothing to see here going forward, hopefully. But even if things end up being clean today, I don't play him next week. I just, at this point, shut him down. What are you playing for next week in Arizona? Really nothing. You weren't playing anything really for yesterday as far as I'm concerned. If Ricky Pearsall, sure. Get some Josh Dobbs some run, sure. So he can audition for some other teams as backup next year? Absolutely. But other than that, real quick, since I brought him up, how the hell is Josh Dobbs not playing over Brandon Allen? Like, no, seriously, come on. Like, the guy won games last year for the Minnesota Vikings. What has Brandon Allen done?
Backed up Joe Burrow.
Like, come on, man. Like, that stuff. Like,
does anyone know who Burrow's backup is currently?
That's my favorite Brandon Allen fact, by the way. When what? People are like, Jake he's Brown. Good. He backed up Joe Burrow.
Nick Brown actually looked good and won some games last year for the Bengals in spot. So that's why I know. And he went to the University of Washington. Come on, Huskies. But to your point, Sam, yeah, like, Brandon Allen. What?
I just love how that was a time. Like, Brian Hoyer backed up Tom Brady, but that was never a thing. Brandon Allen backs up Joe Burrow. He's really good.
Well, that's what was the Matt Castle and Ryan Mallett.
I'm happy with Matt
Jimmy
Castle.
Jimmy G.
That guy.
Jacoby Brissett. There you go. Every single backup
Jacoby
in the
Brissett
history.
Won that one game.
Yeah, thank you. He played last week, and Drake May had to go out.
I didn't even know he was in the league still.
He started the year. He played against the 49ers. He was the starting quarterback. That seems like forever ago, that win against the New England Patriots. Joe Shasky is just shaking his head right now, folks. He just, this season sucks. It sucks. It's just, that's the only way you can put it.
If there was anything on the line last night and that kicker did what he did, we would have.
If there was anything full, on the line.
Imagine if that was a playoff game.
Full lines on get Jake Moody out of here. The poor guy, he was jogging off the field, and Lively, our buddy from CBS.
Matt Lively.
What is it?
Matt Lively.
Matt Lively, thank you. From KPIX is doing a video, and the poor guy, I felt so bad for him. He's still a kid. Like, to me, 23 years old, you're still a kid. That's just my sin. I didn't think I really, like, grew up until I was, like, almost 30. Right? I mean, I'm being real.
I'm 32, and I'm going to be the last one to tell you that I grew up. But no, when he walked down the field for that 58-yarder, and they were booing him as he's walking on the field, like, oh, he's not going to make this. It's 58, and they're booing him. Like, that's not going to go well. And it was so predictable after that. Well,
okay, so it's third and 10, and they're kind of in, like, what I call the barf zone. Right? Because that's the Jake Moody zone. Like,
the barf zone.
Yeah, the barf zone. Am I going to kick a long field goal or am I going to go for this? And it's like, all right, so third and 10. Knowing that he already missed a 51-yarder before halftime, it's like, all right, I got to like get 5 or 6 here. I'm not going for the full thing. And they threw this out pattern to Jennings. It had no chance. Just zero chance. A fluttering duck. And like had zero chance. Got batted down. Arnold's like, yeah. After Arnold's getting cooked all game. And then like they trot out Jake Moody. And I go, what are you doing, Kyle?
For who? For what? Right?
Like, what are you? Just give the ball to the Detroit Lions at that point. And he hit like a hook shot.
Do you feel like because he backed up Moody so much last week that he had to double down and say, you know what, Jake, you got to make me look good here at least?
I don't know.
And now at this point, Kyle Shanahan is...
I just think he's stubborn at times, and I get this way, and I get it, where it's like, no, he's on the roster, I trust him, and sometimes you have to let someone fail so miserably, like, for you to, like, shake confidence. Well, I don't know.
No, it's the same. We go back to fantasy football. A lot of people just have their championships, right? You have to stick with the guy that you drafted high for a very long
time.
That's
a good point.
You know what? I am sticking with Sam Laporta, and of course he showed up yesterday, but I'm sticking with Sam Laporta because I drafted him high, and he was really good last year, and he's healthy. I got to keep starting him. Well, sooner or later, like, the 2.5, like, you know, points every other week, it's just not going to get it done. And he's got to sit on the bench, and I got to pivot to Hockenson. I got to pivot to someone else at this point because it's just not getting it done. Similar to Jake Moody, you got to pivot somewhere else. Kyle Shanahan talking about it after the game.
We already are. We're evaluating all positions. Earlier in the week, I was saying some of the things that he's gone through this year, which, are facts, just him coming back from that injury and everything. And today wasn't a great day by no means. He missing the 51-yard field goal. The 58-yard field goal, that's, just a got-to-have-it situation. And, I'm not going to be too hard on him for that far of a kick, but I know he's capable of making that, and it looked like he got the distance. I think he just missed it, but obviously that extra point, I don't know how the snap and the hold were. We'll look at that one when we see the tape, but got to make that extra point.
I mean, it might be just poetic, and maybe this is just looking too much into it, but we had questions about Jake Moody immediately within the first preseason game he played as a rookie last year. And we said in the final preseason game in Las Vegas, the biggest pressure of his life was in a preseason game. And he didn't rise to the pressure. And we should have known it then that this was going to be the writing on the wall. Everyone knew it. It is what it is. It's like the Baldy even said, There's a revolving door kicker. So it's not the end of the world. It just is what it is. Rip the bandit off. Then kick into the curb.
Why did you draft him?
Exactly.
And your third round pick.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGNZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the Free Odyssey app. Exactly. Just eat it.
You know who the worst kickers in Niner history are? Like in my lifetime, Mike Kofer, Wade Ritchie. Okay.
Okay.
Doug Bryan, who ended up actually having a decent little run.
Sure.
This is early on.
Yeah, sure.
Owen Poochman.
That's not a name.
Yes, it is.
That can't be real. Poochman?
They called him Poochman because the way he kicked is Poochman, I believe.
Okay, thank you.
Look it up. Owen Poochman. All right. And Jose Cortez. Throw Jake Moody in there. I don't know where, but he's in there. It's not even arguable. Now, Jose Cortez, XFL guy, bounced around a few times. But if you say to Niner fans, Jose Cortez, we all laugh. Like, Niner fans have a tortured existence when it comes to kicking. We really do. We've had some great ones. We've had some horrific ones. And they've cost us dearly. And right now, Jake Moody is on a short list of guys. I mean, he's on the Poochman, Cortez, Doug Bryan, Wade Ritchie level.
Well, and Sam Lubman, producer extraordinaire, who I get mistaken for sometimes occasionally during interviews, he mentioned this in the break. You know, special teams right now for Kyle Shanahan has just been abysmal. His entire really tenure as head coach has not been good. It's held them back multiple to the point where in the biggest game of your career, you didn't know the rules. You didn't know the rules.
After the last 30 years of Belichick running the entire league by being obsessed
with special teams.
He
literally, we know who Austin Slater was because of all the championships he was a part of with New England and because he was a glorified special teams guy.
They went Vinatieri Gostkowski for 20 years.
Right.
Vinatieri Gostkowski.
Yep.
We went, what did we go? We went with the guy a couple years ago. Come on.
Robbie Gold. Well, there's David Akers for a minute.
David Akers for a hot second.
Okay, I'm talking about Shanahan. We went Robbie Gold into Jake Moody.
Yeah.
It's a big downgrade.
And Robbie Gold, for what I know, a lot of people like...
Yeah, he wasn't great for 50-plus.
Right, but you know what? In a way, that kind of forced Kyle Shanahan to be more aggressive at times.
That's true.
And I didn't hate that.
There was clarity.
Right? Shout out Troy. David in Denver. What's going on, man?
That's Spadoni and Shasky. Inside pull. Hi, I'm here doing Stanford baseball.
What's up, Dave? What you got, brother?
Hey, man. Just wanted to try to have a little bit of a nuanced conversation with you guys real quick, because all year long, as the season has progressed, we've heard the ongoing conversation. We got the extreme fire Shanahan group, and then we got the other people who are like, that's ludicrous, you know? And so I want to kind of come in the middle on this, okay? Because I think it is kind of nuanced. I don't think he should be fired. I don't think he's a horrible coach. The dude's accomplished stuff. But I want to put out there a real question and a real thing. Like, do you guys think, given the fact that there's been multiple NFC championship games, multiple Super Bowls, that we have not done well in, we have not pulled through, he has not gotten over the hump, he has lost leads, and I think, except for the Eagles game, lost leads in all of those games. Okay? So it's not about, is he a horrible coach? I don't think that. But I think, has this guy missed his window? It's been multiple years. He's going to be coming up on almost a decade as our coach. And I just, that's my thing going forward.
So let me ask you this. No, it's a great.
Fire him, get him out of here.
No, it's a great point. But, Don't go anywhere. It's a great point. I view coaches similar to the way I view players, right? And because I'm not pretending to be Shanahan, but I'm a coach myself. Some people bring different things to the table, right? What Belichick brought was totally different than what Dan Campbell's bringing to the table. Guys have blind spots. I don't think Dan Campbell is the greatest X's and O's whiteboard schematic genius who ever lived. Clearly, he's charismatic and a rah-rah guy, and he does a good job hiring assistants, and his players believe in him. Belichick, I do believe, is cerebral and next level on when it comes to X's and O's. Mm-hmm. And on the whiteboard on the defensive side. I think Andy brings a lot of that. Kyle has blind spots.
Yeah.
One of his blind spots, I think, is stubbornness for what he believes are core principles to how to play the game. And I would disagree with him on his defense currently. And I think that needs to evolve. Simultaneously, he does have a problem losing leads. I don't know what it is. He runs when he should pass. He passes when he should run. His quarterbacks throw it up late in games. They can't throw from behind, it feels like. Like, he has some blind spots. I'm with you on this. And the special teams thing is a blind spot as well. Do you think he can evolve as time goes on? I think Andy Reid is a better coach today than he was 20 years ago. I don't know if Pete Carroll's a great coach today that he was 20 years ago. What do you think?
That's a great point. I have all season long, going into the season, I thought, okay, Kyle has blind spots. You're exactly right. And my point was, can he adapt and evolve? And honestly, I know this may sound kind of weird, but when I see him in the press conferences after how he talks about the games, I don't get the sense that he can. He has difficulty even kind of being accountable in a sense. Like, whereas I just want to hear a coach come up there and say, hey, guys, we stink. We suck. We got to get better at this. I hear him trying to kind of sidestep or like give some false, like, you know, I don't know, man, how he strikes me. If maybe it's the whole stubbornness thing. There's something there where I'm like, man, I really question if he can evolve to get us over the hump. And that's what it comes down to, because many people say, oh, look at his record. He's a play calling genius, what or not. But, and I say this to you, Shaq, because I know you're a longtime Niner fan. But for me, dude, you lose multiple Super Bowls. I don't roll with that, dude.
I know.
I just don't. I know. Maybe I'm biased. I'm a Niner fan, dude. No, I don't roll with that, dude. If you have multiple chances, I'm like, dude, man, something's got to give now, dude. And again, I get the player aspect of it. Players come, players go, but I'm just saying,
no,
the dude has had a window multiple years.
I know.
Thanks, David.
It's a great call. Here's what I would say. As I survey the whole landscape of the league, I trust him to kind of dig his way out of whatever blind spots he's got right now. And I think he's earned the opportunity to do so. That being said, he's bringing up a lot of points. And look, I get frustrated. You know I like Shanahan. I've always liked Shanahan.
Yeah.
But I do think that there are some stubbornness to him. Here's what I would say. It's I've learned not everything about a person can be judged by what they say at podiums. I think Belichick comes off as petulant and stubborn and all those things. And I actually think he's one of the most versatile people behind the scenes, but not at a podium you'll ever find. What was his defense? I don't know, depended on who they were playing. He was constantly evolving. But when you listen to him at a podium, you're like, that guy's super rigid. He probably runs the same thing. And we're going to do the same thing we've been doing for 50 years ago. When I don't think that thing at all. I think he's constantly evolving. And his opinions are changing.
No, absolutely. His Belichick's defense was always what? There was just like, it wasn't the defense per se, like, oh, man coverage or zone. No, it was, he's going to try to take away your best player. That's what, anytime you play New England,
exactly,
they will try to take away, whether it was Kittle, if you're doing that, or if you go way back, right? If Reggie Wayne, if they're going up against the Colts, right? Marvin Harrison, they're going to try to get rid of him. If it's the Steelers, Hines Ward, right? Like, they're going to try to take away your best weapon. If it's in the running game, in the passing game, it's the quarterback, try to disguise blitzes. That's what he's going to do. He will try to adapt. Now it's up to Shanahan to try to adapt his kind of philosophy, because we know that's what Belichick was always doing. But can Shanahan do that both offensively and, for a better part, defensively?
Yes.
When it comes to that stubbornness, we're up against a Joe Shasky. I want to pick that up.
And that's
up.
The way he kind of plays offense.
Correct.
Offense week to week. We don't know, like, who saw Ricky Pearsall being featured?
Exactly. No one. I didn't. And who saw Deebo Samuel being a glorified running back yesterday and a kick returner? I sure as hell didn't. What's coming up in the game is sponsored by Crystal Geyser Alpine Springwater. More of your calls, more of your text. Final segment, Spadoni, Shasky. Final segment of the Morning Roast in the year 2024 on 95.7 The Game.